Thanks, Jeff. Great to be back worshipping. What an incredible time of worship. Thanks, worship team. Thanks, congregation. The voices were just amazing. Hey, it's a one-off message. Jeff said I could speak on what I wanted to speak on today. So thanks, Jeff. Are you ready for this? I know. Our vision at the Lakes Church, our mission statement up there is love people and invite them to join us in a growing relationship with Jesus. And this year, our focus, as Jeff reminded us from the pastoral team this year, was to focus on the second part, to grow closer to Jesus. Or in another way, as I think Jeff put it another day as well, we want to relentlessly pursue Jesus. And I wonder how that's going for you this year. Are you relentlessly pursuing Jesus or not? Have you got any distractions? We've been going through a series called The Transformation Trek, a series of messages looking at Jesus' character, his teachings, aiming to align our hearts and minds and actions with Jesus' life. And we've been reminded, as we have again this morning, that salvation is free. To anyone who wants to come to Jesus, you can come just as you are. That's awesome, isn't it? Jesus invites everyone. I think Jeff even put it in words like this the other day, that the entry bar is really low. It's nothing we do. It's all about him. But once we accept Jesus and start to follow him, Jesus asks us to give up our own way, give up everything, and follow him with everything we are. It's a really, really high call to follow Jesus. It's what he wants us to do because he wants what's best for us. So as I said, Jeff asked me to choose what to speak on today, and so I did. I said, don't come to church. No, don't just come to church. That's in the really small letter down the word there. Don't just come to church, be the church. And today's message is a message for me, and I'm sharing it with you, okay? So I want to ask you this, why are you here today? Obviously I'm here today because I got asked to preach. I should have turned up if I said yes. Why are you here today? Why are you joining in what's happening at the Lakes today? Worship? It's awesome. Because I usually do. Because my parents told me I should come. Because it's what I do. I wonder. I'm glad you're here. But I actually wonder why you're at this place. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go to church. Here's another question for you. Do you want to come to church every Sunday? You don't have to answer out loud, by the way. Who struggles to come to church at times? You know, earlier this year we had a session on repentance and renewal. And we were reminded that confession is part of us drawing near to God, and it's good to confess sins to one another. So my confession today is this. I struggle to come sometimes, especially when I've been rostered on the welcome team with my wife. Because I'd rather hide up there in the media than welcome you. I'm glad to see you here. But, you know, sometimes I don't like to do that. And actually, sometimes I don't want to be here. Because when I'm thinking about me and myself and I, which I do quite a bit, and maybe I'm not alone because I think it's natural, when I'm tired and I'm a little bit over people because I've seen them all week, when I've taken my focus off who God is, his incredible love and his promises, when I've been distracted from relentlessly pursuing Jesus, then sometimes I don't want to be here. So today's message is for me, as I said, and I'm sharing it with you. And I trust that it might refresh or maybe even reset your understanding of what church is and why we come. Don't just come to church, be the church. Now, I have here some lettuces. Yep, another lettuce. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff, no steak. So I just want to let you know that lettuces are mentioned in the Bible, and three of them remind us about what it means to be the church. And it's not heresy, I promise, and I'm not talking about being vegetarian. I think Jeff is a vegetarian. I heard he's a vegetarian by proxy. Cow eats grass. Jeff eats eats cow. He was a little bit disappointed when he saw I just had salad here, but that's all right. But anyway, we'll get back to the lettuces shortly. Be the church. What do we mean by that? What is church? What do you say church is? What does our culture say that church is? And what does the world at large say that church is? Well, depends who you listen to. People say church is a place where people go to hear about God. It'd be good if they do that. It's a place where religious people go. It's a place for CEO Christians. That's the Christmas and Easter only Christians. They go at Christmas and Easter. So it's a place to go then. It's an organisation that takes people's money. It's a place where abuse and scandals have occurred. It's a place where there's some rules. Maybe. It's a place where you can go for help and comfort. There's food banks and assistance in your time of need. So there's lots of things that people say that church is. But where does the term church come from? And we have words and they sort of just take on a meaning from what we associate with them. But in the Bible is a term where church comes from. And concisely summarized in the Step Bible, here you go, which is a wonderful resource, by the way. If you like Bible study, and a really simple resource and a really simple app to have on your phone is this Step Bible, done by some scholars from Cambridge. And it tells us what the word church is. The word church, translated in our Bibles, comes from ecclesia, and it's found in the New Testament about 114 times. And it means an assembly of people gathered together. In most instances, it refers to Christian gatherings. In one instance in the book of Acts, it refers to a riotous mob. So I don't see that here today. But it refers to a gathering together. So a church in the New Testament is never a building or a meeting place. The church is the community of people following Jesus Christ locally and globally. The church is not a place that we go to. The church is who we are. As someone so nicely put it, the church is not a human institution or a social network. It's used to identify people called by God into a covenant with himself based on who God is and what he's done. Not on us. So if a church is a gathering of people, means to gather, what causes people to gather and why do they gather? Well, there's a lot of gathering goes around AFL, which I'm still struggling with. I'm getting to grips with it slowly as a Kiwi. It's a strange game. Sorry. But a lot of people gather around AFL. They gather around cricket. They gather around music. They gather around lots of things. And I find it interesting that when we go to a sports game or a concert, it's actually not really about the team, is it? Why do you go to a sports game? For the entertainment. Because you want to feel good, you want to enjoy what's going on. I think WIIFM is what most people listen to. What's in it for me? The large majority of gatherings in our Western society is because we want something out of it. We go to consume. That's why we gather, because we want something. So I ask you today, you're here today in a group of people. What do you have in common with the group of people around you right now? And what was your motivation for coming here? Or any time that you go to a church service? As a teenager, sometimes it was to go to hang out with my friends, because they got there and it was fun and we could endure the sermon and get through and hang out with them afterwards. And we can go and do things together. As you get older, you look around about who else is there and who else you might like to get to know. There's all sorts of reasons for coming to church. But we come for all sorts of reasons. We come, I trust, to worship God and encourage each other. But if you don't get what you're looking for today, how are you going to think about the service? Are you just present here today, or are you fully engaged in this gathering? Did you come today to consume or to contribute? To receive or to give? The last three messages that we've listened to here at the Lakes have been on generosity and sacrifice. We've been learning about Jesus' words that it's more blessed to give than receive. So how's that going in regard to coming here today? Nowhere in the Bible does it say go to church, but there are instructions in the Word of God about being the church, the people of God, and meeting together. So instead of me asking any more questions, let's read the Word of God together. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we find in chapter 10 some verses that talk about what Christians have in common, instruct us in three things that the people of God are to do, and remind us why we're together and what those gatherings should look like. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 says this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Wow. What we have in common, if we know Jesus, is pretty amazing. What we have in common as we come here today is confidence to enter the presence of God, because by his blood Jesus has made a way. And we've just celebrated that in communion. That's pretty awesome. What we have in common is the ability to draw near to a holy God that we've been singing about. A holy God. We can come to him free of guilt and shame. What we have in common is a hope based in a faithful God who keeps his promise. That's amazing. It's a heap to celebrate. It's a heap to gather around. Peace that comes from knowing God, being free to worship, is the greatest gift we can ever receive. Jesus' love and mercy is what we have in common, and that ought to keep us talking for quite a while. There's three things we're instructed to do as we gather and told why we should gather. And so these three instructions and what it means to be the church in most English translations begin with, yep, you got it, letters. I know it's a corny dad joke, but you know, I'm a grandfather as well, so I can have dad jokes, okay? So there's three lettuces. That's why I've got three lettuces here. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, and let us consider how we may spur one another on. Okay, in the Message translation it says this: let's do it, full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out to God. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. God always keeps his word. So let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping or gathering together, as some do, but getting together and spurring each other on. So as we come here today, and we are to be the church rather than to come to church, to be the church means that we are to draw near to God. So how can we do that? Well, we've had a series of messages on abiding in God right at the beginning. But how do we draw near to God? We just draw near to God by talking to him. We read his word. We pray, we repent, we confess. We remind each other that God is approachable at any time by any of us, because we approach because of Jesus, not because of us. Let us, to be the church, hold on to what we profess. You know, I don't know about you, but I read the newspaper. I know it's pretty old-fashioned, but I read the news as well, the apps. I listen to what's going on in the world around us. And if I don't listen to what God has said, I can get pretty discouraged. There's lots of voices out there. There's lots of voices from the enemy to say, forget about what God says. Do it this way. Enjoy yourself. Just, God doesn't really want what's good for you. Don't follow his way. Do it your way. And we're encouraged in the world, if we listen to the messages of the world, to not hold on to God, but to chase after pleasure. Let us hold on and unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let's help each other to do that and remind each other if we see each other wavering or starting to go away that is not honoring to God, to speak up. You know, there's a proverb that says, an enemy multiplies kisses, but wounds from a friend can be trusted. If you have a friend and you see them going astray, or you see me doing things that aren't honoring to God, then part of holding on to unswervingly to what we profess is to encourage each other and correct each other. So let's look out for each other. Should you really be watching that? Is that really what God wants you to do? Is that really building you up? Let's make sure we hold on. Let's consider how we might spur each other on, not just warning each other, but encouraging each other every day. When God brings someone to mind from this congregation or any other person you know that follows Jesus, then let's make sure we call them. Send them a text. Write them a note. Give generously of our time to meet and talk with people about Jesus and just notice people. Let's consider how we might spur each other on. This is being the church, drawing near to God, holding to what we profess, and encouraging each other. So every time you eat salad, please remember that we are called to be the church. And if you don't eat salad, every time you see other people eating salad, let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly. And all the more as we see the day approaching, the day when Jesus will come again. We're looking forward to that, when all things will be put right on this earth. There's nothing like encouragement to keep us going. We're excited and motivated when we hear how others have excelled, when their lives are going well. But it helps us to persevere when we hear how other people have had struggles similar to ours, knowing that we're in this together and not alone. We come to celebrate, encourage, excite, provoke, instruct each other. We come to contribute to each other's lives. If we come to church, to be the church, with a mindset to contribute, church changes big time. I know that because when I come prepared to give and celebrate and share what God has put on my heart, guess what? It changes a whole lot of things. In Christianity Today, in an article in 2019, there's a true story, and I think it's really cool one about church. Helps us to consider what church really means, what it means to be the church. Dr. Krish Kadir, he's a social entrepreneur. He wrote some pretty thought-provoking stuff, and he wrote this story, which is true. There was a little boy playing in the street, kicking dust, jumping off the walls, and a lady happened to walk past with her five children, and that caught the boy's attention. He watched from a distance for a while, and then he got his courage up, and he went over and said, "Are you guys going to a party?" The mum answered quickly, "Yes, we are. We call it church. If you go and check with your mum, you can come with us." Yeah. So the boy ran home and was back in a couple of minutes with a big smile on his face. That Sunday, he went with them and he stayed for a cup of hot chocolate and he left before the service began. But he was back the next week and the week after that. And pretty soon he brought his mother and his brother and a couple of his cousins. And 8 years later, they were an integral part of their church. One of the most moving moments of those years was when the boy's mother was baptized. Standing waist high in water, she explained a little of her traumatic childhood, her years of living rough, and something of the struggles of trying to hold her family together. But her face shone, and her voice clearly articulated her love for God, who had found her and welcomed her home. The idea that had caught her son's imagination was that church was like a party, that he and his family were invited to. Until then, they had sadly mostly experienced what it was like to be excluded. But the discovery that church wasn't so much an event that you turn up to as a family you belong to was life-changing for them. In fact, it was life-changing for that whole church. Being the church looks a lot like being a family. It's about belonging, contributing, being committed to, and caring for each other. It's not like sitting in a crowd. It's about being involved. I want to be with people who are like that. It sounds like a great family to hang out with. You know, growing up as a young kid in church, and I grew up in a church family, so I went every Sunday because my parents said I would. But one of the things that made the biggest impact on me then and as a young man going away to work was the older people in church who came up to me and asked how things were going. They just asked about my life. But it wasn't that. It was when next Sunday they came back to me and asked me how what I told them about was going. And I knew that they listened. When we talk to each other and ask each other how it's going, let's not just do it because someone said from the platform we should do it, but as a family, we should look out for each other. Let's remember what it is we talk about. Let's see who's here, because God has brought every person into this building today. He knows that you're going to be here. He knows who you're sitting beside. He knows who he wants you to talk to. He knows who you can encourage. Church is like family. On the days when I come down from the media box and I want to run out and get in my car because I'm being selfish, you feel free to trip me up and ask me, did you draw near to God this week? And if so, what did he tell you? Because if this is the God we serve, we should have lots to share. And maybe I haven't this week. Maybe that's why I'm running out the door. Well, that's okay, because you probably have. Let's remember we're here to encourage each other. Church is not a place we go. Church is who we are. Let's come to contribute. Sometimes, as I said, we might wonder why we're here. Sometimes it's hard, but that's okay. Come, ask someone to pray for you. As we share burdens, we're encouraged. Our worlds are not Instagrammable or TikTokable, if that's a word, all the time. In fact, often they're not. But when the party is on, and people come prepared to praise God, ready to celebrate Jesus, church is a pretty awesome place to be. So let's make sure we don't treat our gatherings, our church services, like going to a restaurant, where it's all laid on for us. We get to choose the flavor, the food that suits us. No lettuce for Jeff. And we move on when our tastes change, or the chef fails to deliver to our expectations, or the table setting isn't quite what we like. Going to a restaurant is about being a consumer. Coming to a party and contributing is a whole lot different. Let's be in the mindset of the lady who said, when asked, are you going to a party? Yes, we are. We gather to celebrate Jesus, his love, his goodness, and to remind each other what it means we have. We have confidence to approach God, freedom from guilt and shame, able to live life to the full. As the worship team comes up, let's remember that coming to a church service as a consumer is missing out on what God has for us and detracting from what we could be. We're together as a community to represent God's love on this earth. To be a follower of Jesus means you've become part of the church, the people of God. You've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible privilege. It's exciting. It's challenging. But it's what most people are searching for. Let's draw near to God. Hold unswerving to the hope we have. Be really inventive about how to spur each other on. And as we come to contribute, we will be blessed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that You're an incredible God who invites us to come into your presence, who have called us to be a people celebrating you and coming to know you. Oh God, help each of us this week to be the church, and as we come together as people who are your church, help us to celebrate next week with joy, with gladness, and Lord, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit and give us the joy of bringing something to contribute and the excitement of doing that and seeing your church flourish. In Jesus' name, amen.